Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, John 9, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for God's holy word. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Then he went and washed, and he came back able to see. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. So this scripture passage is about, in part, seeing. It's about vision. It's about how we look out at the world. And something related to seeing and vision, something momentous happened this week in the world of computing and technology. Have you all seen things online in the news about Apple's new product that they launched, the Vision Pro? Lee?
Yeah.
Robbie? All right, two of us have seen this. Do you guys know what the Vision Pro is?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, this is great. Okay. The Vision Pro is a pair of goggles. This isn't a Vision Pro. This is Charlotte's goggles from when we go to the pool. Okay, so the Vision Pro is a brand new way to do computing, to use a computer. So Apple is selling this product. It's $4,500. And it's essentially a computer that you wear as goggles on your face, okay? So on the inside of the goggles, there are screens that point towards your eyes, okay? And on the outside of the goggles, there are all of these cameras and sensors that are looking out at the world. So the cameras and the sensors look out at the world, and they project that world back to your eyes. And in addition to looking out at the world, the computer is also tracking your eyes and tracking your hand motions, okay? And so what the Vision Pro allows you to do is to use all of the programs and applications that you might use on your computer or on your phone, but to use them as if they are screens or windows that are hanging out here in the world around you, okay? So the style of this technology is called augmented reality. The Vision Pro projects a vision of reality and then it augments it. It changes it so that you can use your computer programs in this new and dynamic way. So how would this work? What's an example? Well, right now at church, we're working on restoring heat and cooling to the sanctuary, right? So typically when I sit at my desk in the office, what I do is I print out some documents and then I have my phone here on the desk next to me and I have my laptop in front of me and I might have different proposals from different heating and cooling companies, one for this kind of, you know, gas furnace, one for oil furnaces, one for heat pumps, and then I've got my computer there because I need my email open because Mark Smith has sent me some emails with some information, and then I've got my phone there because I also have some text messages from Peggy with some information, and I might get a phone call from Gene about other information, and I have to, you know, be using all of these different things to do my computing. The Vision Pro would allow you to take all of that computing power and to set it as screens and documents that you're seeing as if they're hanging there in the world in front of you. So I could be doing this work and I could have all of the proposals from the different companies hanging out in this part of the world around me. And then I could have a Word document in front of me where I'm taking notes and there's a digital keyboard that I'm, or a projected keyboard in front of me that I can type on to take notes. And then I could have a window here that has my emails
so that I could use my hand and I could select emails and read the emails that I need, and then I could put my text messages right here so that I could just look over and see what the text messages say, and then I could have my phone right over here so that I could, if I needed to, I could call someone and ask some questions. And in that way, all of that computing and paper that spread out all over my desk in all of these different places can be contained in this new augmented reality, they're calling it spatial computing device, that you wear on your face, and you can go out in the world and do all of this. So I can do it in my office, I could do it at home. If I were sitting at a bench in Skillman Park, I could do it there. If I were flying on a 13-hour airplane ride, I could be doing all of that computing right here with this new thing that I'm wearing on my face.
So you're putting that in the budget now?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
So there's a real connection, a real synergy with our scripture passage for today. The Vision Pro gives people a brand new way to look at the world and to engage with the world. It's a brand new way of seeing, right? It's maybe a way of seeing that you all are like, I don't want that way of seeing. But you can't deny that it's a brand new way of seeing. It's a brand new way of seeing and interacting with the world. Something like that is happening in our scripture passage for this morning. Jesus and his disciples are depicted as going out into the world, and they encounter a man who has been blind from birth. This man has never had the ability to see. And the disciples immediately ask Jesus, they want to understand why. You know, why has this man been born blind? And so they ask him, is this the result of sin? Did God foresee that this man was going to sin, and so he punished him by making him blind? Or is this an example of generational punishment? Did his parents sin, and so this man is born blind? And what's great is that often in the Gospels, when Jesus is asked a why question, Jesus usually doesn't give us a very helpful or straight answer. Jesus dodges or takes the topic and goes somewhere else with it. And what's nice about this passage is that Jesus actually answers it pretty clearly. He says, no, it's not about sin, right? The situation we're dealing with here has nothing to do with this man's sinfulness. Instead, Jesus says, this man was born blind so that God's glory might be revealed in him, which is an interesting response. And then Jesus goes on to give this man something that he didn't have before. He gives this man his sight. And he does it in a really bizarre and particular way, which I'm sure you caught, and many of you who've heard the Gospel of John before have heard this before as well. Jesus spits on the ground, and he makes some mud, and then he takes that mud, and he puts the mud on the man's eyes and tells him to go wash. And when the man does what Jesus says, he comes back and he's able to see. Now, commentators are pretty sure that at least in part, what the Gospel of John is meaning to portray with Jesus spitting on the ground and making mud and putting that mud on the man's eyes is that the Gospel of John, the author, is referencing back to the creation story in the book of Genesis. If you remember in Genesis chapter 2, God is creating the world, and God goes about making humanity. And in Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And God breathes the breath of life into Adam, and he is vivified, he becomes a living being, and he has life, right? And it's this wonderful, gritty, tactile, tangible story about God like a sculptor, God like a potter, creating humanity out of the dust of the earth. And Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and so we're going to be reminded on Ash Wednesday that we are formed of the dust of the earth, and so we return to the dust of the earth as well. But God goes about, and God is depicted as creating humanity from the dust of the earth. And there's a really interesting, you know, kind of clever thing going on in that story as well, which is that God creates this first human being, and God names him Adam, right? And we all just accept Adam as a proper name. Like, I have a friend named Adam. You meet Adams out there in the world, and it's just like, that's a possibility of someone to have the name Adam. Well, there's a play on words going on in the ancient Hebrew, okay? In ancient Hebrew, the word for land, the word for dirt, is Adamah, Adamah. And so the author of this story of creation says that God took the Adamah, God took the land, and God formed it into an Adam, okay? An Adam, a man, okay? The proper name Adam is really a play on words. It's a word that means something like God created the mud man, God created the dust creature, right? Probably a better way of saying it is God created an earthling, right? We are earthlings. We are of the same material that this earth is, this creation is. A funnier word would be landlubbers. We're landlubbers, right? We come from the earth, okay? So anyway, the Gospel of John, the author is depicting Jesus doing something very similar to what God did in the first creation. God formed us out of the dust of the earth, and now Jesus, the Word of God become flesh, has entered the world, and Jesus encounters a man who's been born blind, who has never had the ability to see, and to help this man, to address his need for sight, Jesus takes the same posture that God took in the creation story. Jesus becomes like the potter. Jesus becomes like the sculptor. And he spits in the dirt and he makes some mud, and Jesus adjusts the sculpture. Jesus adds to the painting. Jesus makes an adjustment. He gives the man born blind something that the man has never had before, a new way to engage with the world. This story in the Gospel of John, I believe it's meant to be an analogy, a metaphor for all of us, okay? The disciples come upon this man born blind. He's imperfect. He doesn't have everything that he needs to truly and fully and completely engage with God's world. And the disciples ask, why? Why is this the case? Why is this man imperfect? Why is he missing something? And Jesus says, it's so that God's glory might be revealed in him. He's imperfect, but guess what? With God's power, God's glory can be revealed in this man's perfection, in this man's completion. And then Jesus goes about and brings that completion into existence. This is supposed to be a metaphor for all of our experiences, for all of our realities. We come into this world, and we come into this world imperfect. We come into this world lacking some things, okay? None of us come into this world completely and perfectly formed, right? Has anyone come into the world perfectly formed without need for help or adjustment or growth or development? Bob did, that's true, but yeah. It's a great metaphor for the human condition. We're born, we grow up, we hit, you know, teenage years, and we start wrestling with the world and how we view the world and what we think about the world and what we believe about what God thinks about us and what we should be doing in the world. And you know what? We all need some help, right? We all need what Jesus can provide for us, which is the addition of a new way, a complete way, a fuller way of seeing and viewing God and ourselves and the world around us. And so the good news of this passage, the good news of the gospel, is that this is part of Jesus' mission of salvation, right? We talk about salvation, and in our Calvinist tradition, we often think that salvation is just about forgiveness of sins. I made mistakes and then I get forgiven and then I'm okay with God and that's it, right? And then I'm okay. Well, in the gospels, Salvation is like a diamond with all of those wonderful facets in a diamond. When you turn it, there are all of these different facets that catch the light. Salvation isn't just this one note tune of forgiveness of sins, Salvation is a symphony of all of these different notes and tones and harmonies. One of the ways the Gospel of John really focuses in our salvation is this idea, this concept, that we need Jesus' help in order to see things properly. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus can do it. He finds a man born blind just like the rest of us. And Jesus is the one who's able to spit on the ground and make some mud and fashion and create the lenses, the Vision Pro, that we need in order to augment the way we see God and the way we see ourselves and the way we see the world around us. Okay, so we're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do during sermons, which is you guys are going to do some talking too. Ah, oh no. All right, so we come into this world and our vision isn't perfect, right? Our understanding of things isn't perfect. The way we see things isn't perfect. And then Jesus comes into our lives and helps us see things in a better way, okay? So I want you to find someone next to you, one or two people, three groups of two or three at most, and answer this question. What is something that Jesus has taught you to see about yourself? What is a misunderstanding you had about yourself, about the way God sees you, and something that Jesus helped you to learn? Okay? So what's an old idea you had about yourself? And something that Jesus comes and gives you the vision to see better or more clearly. Another way to say that is when Jesus looks at you, what does Jesus see? Right? What do you see? But what does Jesus see? Okay? So turn to one or two people next to you and discuss that prompt.
Same kick you off. What? Same kick you off.
To the internet.
Yeah,
All right, you guys are doing really good. Does anyone want to? Would someone be brave enough to stand up and share something, a reflection on how maybe we saw ourselves before and how Jesus gives us a new vision of ourselves or a clearer, better vision of ourselves? Furnace?
All right. I have a better vision, I think, as I get older. As I said to the girls, I always thought I had to be able to do it all. Run the church pageant while my kids were little and I was teaching them. Oh, I was. Yeah. Go for God every minute. And it's accepting our limitations. God's hitting me up on the side of the head going, amen. You can let other people help you.
Good. So Jesus helps you to realize it's okay.
I don't have to do it all.
That you can't do it all.
Right.
That's great.
Everyone's helping with coffee. I can't do it all. And it's okay.
Good. Other examples. Dave.
Yeah, when I was young, I was in a youth group in a Methodist church. And the pastor was named Shepherd. His first name was named Shepherd, which I thought was always cool. Shepherd Joslin. And he came, talked to me after one of the youth groups and said, I'd like you to be the president of the youth group. And I said, what? Me? The quiet kid sitting on the sidelines? And he said, you've got leadership potential. Hmm. And I've always felt since, especially now that I'm older, that that message came from Jesus to shepherd to me.
That's great. It's wonderful. God can see our leadership potential or our callings before we can, and coming in touch with Jesus helps to reveal those things. That's great, Dave. Thank you. Bob, did you have one?
Oh, I'll try.
Yep.
You know, in the sense of, you know, when does someone come to your party when they say they'll try, you know, so I'll probably fail. But anyway, I don't know if we had agreement here, but I didn't particularly like the goggle. I don't like that technology. And I don't know if this is a message coming from Jesus. I mean, I don't know that I understand that connection yet, but I see this as a device that will further isolate ourselves. Hmm. You know, yeah. I see enough of the yes. phone thing, yes. and you know, you can go to a bar, and there can be a group of young people across the bar, texting one another with their shoulders touching, you know, and so, and I'm an IT guy, and I won't touch Facebook because I see what happens in our business. I see how dangerous it is to the business, these various social media technologies. They're a cesspool for me. I can barely keep security solid with all this nonsense going on. That's my view.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to see is someone sitting on the subway going like this. I don't know if that's a message or not, but
sure,
that's
sure.
that's what I have to offer anyway. So.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, I think with all technology, there are plethora of abuses along with the plethora of advantages. So, Lee.
Yeah. So Jesus opened my eyes when I was maybe in my mid 20s, and I'm going to make it really short. But he made me realize that I'm supposed to be just the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Disability. It's just what it is, and that was what it was supposed to be. And then that's how I led my life. You know, just that's how I'm supposed to be. And just to add one more thing, and I think I mentioned this at Bible study, that reinforces that, is I asked my granddaughter, who's 5 years old, around Christmas time. I said, well, we're talking about Christmas presents and what she was going to ask Santa. And I said, well, why don't you ask Santa to make Papa walk? She calls me Papa. And she starts laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? And she said, because you're supposed to be in a wheelchair. And that just like reinforced everything that Jesus opened up my eyes to, without the goggles.
I might take that. Sorry, Jeff.
Go ahead.
So we're beating up on you. This morning, but you see, that's perfection in my view. Yeah. You were born here perfect, and so was I. So was everyone. Yeah. We're different. We have obstacles and issues to deal with, but we're perfect. Yeah. The world is perfect. The thing that isn't so perfect is
That's why when Pastor Jeff said, is anyone perfect here, you kind of raised your hand.
That's because he had a perfect mom.
That's true.
It is true. All right, I'm going to wrestle this back from you all. Okay. It's my fault for giving it to you, but I'm going to wrestle it back.
You need the goggles.
I need the goggles. So this was a message that got taught to me in my Christian upbringing, this idea of looking at the world through the lens of Christ, right? And I think that is the message that God has for us today, is to remember. I brought in these goggles, which is a fun little, you know, visual thing. I thought about bringing a sandbox, and then I didn't want to spit in it, so I was going to pour water on it and make some mud and invite you if you want to come up. I can put some on your eyes for you, but I figured that would be too messy. But the point is that God wants us to put on the lens of Christ. God wants us to wear those lenses and to make that lens a normal and a regular everyday part of our existence, to let God's vision of ourselves, to let God's vision of this world, to let God's vision of our neighbors and our friends and our family be our vision, right? And that's what Jesus is doing in this story, is he is giving vision to the man born blind. One of the reviews I watched of the Vision Pro, the Apple Vision Pro, was by this wonderful content creator in New York City, and he got the Vision Pro on the day that it launched, and it comes with a battery pack that lasts like 2 or 3 hours, okay? And it like has a cord, and you have to like put the battery in your pocket and walk around with it. So he knew that he wanted to wear it all day, so he brought a bunch of extra battery packs with him so that he never had to take it off, and he wore it for, you know, for 6 hours or 12 hours the first day. And he said for the first few hours, as you would expect, his brain was telling him, this is weird, right? Mm-hmm. He was walking around with like a 4-pound computer on his face, and it was projecting these screens in front of him, his messages and his computer and, you know, everything. And for the first few hours, his brain had this constant message to the rest of him saying, this is weird, this is weird, this is weird. And he said after several hours of wearing it, and he was walking around New York City, he was in Times Square with all the screens that are already there, and he had more screens. Anyway, after wearing it for several hours, he said something happened where his brain just clicked, okay, and accepted this new reality that this now is how we deal with the world. And the fuzz, the din of this is weird, this is different, went away. And he just settled into this new way of viewing the world. Now, you guys don't like this new way of viewing the world. That's fine. But it's an analogy for Jesus, okay? and I've heard the same situation happening in other research as well about vision, right? So researchers took people and they gave them special glasses that turned the world upside down, okay? So like a pair of glasses that had a mirror in it. So as you looked out at the world, everything was upside down, and they made them wear them for a day, right? And for the first few hours, obviously the people were, you know, confused, and it was very hard to walk because the floor looked like the ceiling and the ceiling looked like the floor. But after several hours, our brains have this ability to say, oh, I get it. This is the new reality we're dealing with. And their brains just clicked. And even though they were seeing things upside down, their brains flipped the image back around, and they were able to walk through the world in a normal way. And then the next morning, when they woke up and took those glasses off and weren't wearing them anymore, guess what?
It looked upside down.
The world was upside down for a couple of hours until their brain recalibrated to the new way of seeing. Okay? So what's the point for us? Well, we're on the verge of the season of Lent. And Lent is often a time when people's devotion, their piety, we take it up a notch, right? We do a little bit more praying. We do a little bit more devotions. We read scripture. We think about our relationship with God. I challenge you in this season of Lent to put on the goggles of Christ, to put on Jesus' way of seeing. Study his teaching. Watch and see the example that he gives in the Gospels. Listen to the message that he has about who God is and what God is like. Listen to the message he has about you and how much God loves you and cares about you and how he wants to do amazing things in and through you. Listen to Jesus and see the vision that he has of a world of peace, in a world where people love one another and care for one another and serve one another. Put on those goggles and keep them on until it clicks, and let that become our vision and our way of dealing with this world. Amen.